a member of the church at First Baptist Church in Pampa while I pastored there. And he told me a story about his younger days, that he was in a very terrible car accident. It just happened that a friend of his drove by and saw what had happened. Brad was unconscious. And so he picked him up and took him to the emergency room at the hospital, where the nurses immediately began to try to help him. The doctor on call that day for the emergency room was contacted. He came as quickly as he could. Got there actually a little too fast because the nurses weren't finished with what they were doing, and Brad seemed to be fine and stable. And so the doctor on call left with the understanding that were there a problem, that the nurses would contact him. It just so happened that the doctor awoke about 3 o'clock that morning and had this burden for Brad. In fact, he knew Brad and knew Brad's family and everything. And so he jumped up and put his clothes on, rushed up to the ER just to check on Brad. And upon seeing him, immediately he knew something was wrong. He asked for chest tubes, and after inserting the chest tubes, he told the nurses to immediately contact LifeStar, the helicopter, that this young man was dying. Both of his lungs had collapsed and were filling with fluid. Brad spent the next 21 days in ICU and the next month in hospital rehab. Brad Mathis was spared because someone with insight and skill was able to diagnose his problem and address the situation. Back in the 6th century BC, the Hebrew people were likewise suffering from a sickness, a spiritual sickness, and they needed someone with skill and understanding to likewise look at their situation and diagnose their problem, that the issue could be addressed. In 587 BC, the Babylonian Empire conquered Jerusalem and the Hebrew people of Judah. They destroyed the temple of God, and then they took the people and deported them out of their holy city. For 70 years, they stay in that circumstance, having been deported from their homeland. Again, 70 years later, a new kid arises on the block, the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Persians come in and then conquer the Babylonian Empire. And once they take the reins of that entire area, they realize that they've got a segment of their population of Hebrew people. They didn't know what to do with them. And so Cyrus the Great, who was the leader of the Persian Empire, created what is known today as the Cyrus Decree. And in that decree, he allowed the Hebrew people who had been dispersed to now go back to their homeland of Jerusalem. The people, of course, were ecstatic, or at least a lot of them, ecstatic to go back and once again be in that promised land of God. They went with two thoughts, two intents, two priorities on their mind. The first was to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. The second then was to restore the temple of God back to its former glory. So these Jerusalem refugees are now back in their homeland, and they immediately get to work upon those two priorities. However, not long into their rebuilding projects, a problem arose. Financial problem. And that issue stopped the work on the temple. In fact, we're told that the people of God got to a point where they feared, they even despaired. The word gives a sense of losing all hope. They feared, they lost hope that the temple of God would not be able to be restored because of a lack of finances. The people, these refugees, had a spiritual sickness, and they were losing hope that it would not be healed. Out of that chaos, fear, and despair, God rose a prophet. God called a man. His name is Haggai. Some people call him Haggai. That sounds too funny to me. I'm going to call him Haggai. So I want you, if you will, to turn to the book of Haggai. It's easy to find. It is right after Zephaniah and right before Zechariah. So I'll give you about 30 minutes to find Haggai. The book of Haggai consists of five short addresses and then a description of his efforts to diagnose the problem of these Jewish refugees and then persuade them toward the answer. Persuade them into allowing God to heal them. In short, Haggai charged these people of Jerusalem with this challenge. Haggai said to them, now please listen, diagnosing the problem and then leading to healing. Haggai said to them, if you were right to go home to Jerusalem and rebuild your own houses, which is what they did, they had to live there, isn't it right then that you also rebuild the house of God? His pitch was something like this. After complimenting them in their efforts to come back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, complimenting them that they had restored their own homes, he then challenged them. You're still not happy. You've come back to your home city, the city God gave you. You are beginning the rebuilding project. You have rebuilt your own home and are once again creating community, but you are not content. You are not happy. There is a heaviness on your heart. And here's the problem. You know, the temple of God sits in ruins. You sit pretty in your own home, but the temple of God is in desperate need of repair. He then further addressed the issue by saying, your spiritual sickness of discontent will be healed, corrected, if you will again start paying attention to the building of God. Now this morning, as we are entering a new year, 2019, I have reminded you at the beginning, like I like to do at the first of every year, I've reminded you of the importance of church attendance, the importance of being faithful on the Lord's Day by gathering with the people of God in worship. And so this morning, as we push forward into this new year, allow me to remind you as well of the importance of honoring God with tithes and offerings and being mindful that the Lord takes great joy in His house. As we move forward, I want to look for a few minutes in some detail at this story so that we might be able to draw important truths that will help us, please listen, that will help us to do right things the right way, that will allow us to do holy things God's way and then be blessed. We're going to follow this outline in our study. Point one is going to be the condition of the people's spirit, the condition of their heart, their spirit, their soul. Point two will be the cause of their sickness. And point three will be the cure of spiritual renewal. Please look with me in Haggai 1, verse 9. Here the Old Testament prophet describes the condition of the people's spirit that sounds eerily familiar with many of us today. He says to the people, "You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house sits in ruins, while every one of you runs home to his own house." The Lord addresses the issue in the hearts of the people. He points to the problem in their spirit, and you and I can readily identify. He says of the people, "You looked for much, but indeed it came to little." We're dealing here with primarily an agricultural community. And so it's very likely that these farmers would go out into their fields and they would see their stalks ripe with fruit. And they would just intuitively know, when my fields look like that, it's going to be a good harvest. And so they were probably in good spirits. They had They had hope. They looked forward to being financially settled. They looked over their harvest and thought to themselves, it's going to be a really good year. But as they brought this harvest home, that much turned to little. And why? God tells us. He says, I blew it away. Not the devil, not the neighbor. God says, I blew it away when you brought it home. This word blew or blow can be translated to blow up or to blast something to smithereens. It is often used with reference to the judgment of God. For example, in Ezekiel 22, 20 through 21, as men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin in the midst of a furnace to blow fire on it to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. I don't like preaching these passages, these messages, but they are holy truth. And I would neither be doing you a favor nor myself if I didn't give heed and share the warning with you. Ezekiel, or God through Ezekiel, pictures an old blacksmith. And in order to get the metal to bend properly, he sticks it in the fire and brings it out. And it's still not ready, and he sticks it back in the fire, brings it out. It's still not pliable. It still will not bend to his touch, to his strength. And so he plunges it in the fire again and again and again until finally the metal will bend to the hand of the blacksmith. And God is saying, that's what I do to you and will do to you. In my anger and fury, I'm going to blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. The point being, of course, I'm going to bring you into submission regarding the truth. That you and your selfishness, where you take care of your own thing and yet disregard my house. He says in the second part of verse 9, you have been selfish. I'm going to wake you up to that truth. It is really incredible to me, as is pointed out in this passage, how deeply God really does care about his house. And here it has, of course, a strong physical reference about the building itself and about it needing repair. But I think in application, it's more than that. It's more than just how the building looks. It's how the building acts. It's the heart and the spirit of the building. It's the honor of the building. I've been telling you now for a few weeks that we are moving ahead and forming this Nehemiah committee or Nehemiah group or team or whatever is the best word for it. And we're going to by the Lord's guidance recreate. We're going to redo the whole concept of the mission of this church. And you are going to be asked to be a part of one of these ministries and reaching out and honoring God. We're not standing still. The accelerator is about to get hit. And we need you. We do. God looks upon this church and he is deeply, deeply moved because of his love for this church, i.e. for you. And so as we move ahead and discern and determine what is the will of God, I beg you to be ready, to be faithful, to honor God, and to realize how deeply he cares about his church. Very quickly, in verses 10 and 11 then, Haggai writes, "Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, the earth will withhold its fruit, for I called on a drought on the land and the mountains and the grain and the new wine and the oil and on whatever the grounds bring forth, on men and livestock, on all the labor of your hands." God says, I'm not kidding. This is not a game to me. He wanted these people to know why they thought they had much, and when they brought it home, it was little. God wanted them to know why that was so. He wanted them to know why the famine in their land was coming. He wanted them to know why their need was so great. Because you've neglected me. So he was telling them in these verses, realize what is happening. Understand there is a curse placed upon you. Realize what is happening. You have little, not because you overspent, not because you were living beyond your means. No, you have little because you have ignored God. And then he finally says, rebuild then his temple. Back in verse 8, he says, now go into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. And then I will take pleasure in it and be honored. He says, I am weary of you going to the mountains, taking down timber, bringing it down into the city, carving out these niceties, and then sticking them in your house. Rebuild my temple. It might be that, and again, this is just an obvious application. It might be that you feel that you were getting much, but it's turning to little. It might be that you are in circumstances where you can't figure out why 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4. Why in your own finances it logically looks like it should be more than enough, but at the end of the day, it's not. And it may be that you need to call upon the Lord and turn to Him and say, Lord God, I have neglected, I have dishonored, I have forgotten you and your house. This year in 2019, and you know that I call this not from need. For the first time in a long time this past year, we oversubscribed the budget. So it's not from need or fear. It's for you. For you to receive God's blessing. Turn. Seek forgiveness. And start rebuilding His temple.